I would like to welcome you all here to Parsha Shalach 5768. And just an orientation for those of you who were not here last week, after completing the 6 weeks leading up to Shavuos, and we were kind of in a mini-series there, every week taking an attribute from the Mesilas Yesharim, applying it to the Parsha, and applying it to the way we prepare ourselves spiritually for Shavuos. We're looking for a direction, where to go from there, and we found ourselves at the threshold of another mini-series. And that mini-series was estimated to take 3 weeks, and that revolves around the three parshas, Baha'aloscha, Shlach, and Korach. We noted that those three parshios each contain an episode which is somewhat disheartening, because we see the Jewish people showing some of their true colors in the sense of negative or destructive behavior. In the parsha of the Ha'aloscha, there was a group of people that complained out of a desire for meat. They complained about the manna because they wanted the good food that they ate in Egypt. In the parsha of Shalach, which is this week's parsha, we know that the spies who were sent to Israel to come back, hopefully with a positive report, came back with a negative report. And in the next week's parsha, Korach, the famous episode, the infamous episode of Korach, one of the Levim, actually a cousin to Moshe and to Aaron, started a rebellion and influenced many people to join him. A rebellion against the authority of Moshe and Aaron, claiming that they had taken all the glory for themselves. And his true motive is discovered, or is disclosed, by Moshe as being envious. So these three parshios, which contain this negative stuff, are reminiscent of a statement that we have by our sages in Pirkei Avos that goes like this. It's, I believe, in the fourth chapter. Hakina vehatava vehakovod motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam. Envy, desire, and honor-seeking take a person out of the world. And indeed, this is what we see in these three parshios. We see in Parshas Beha'aloscha Tava, the verse says, Vayis'avu Tava, and they desired a desire. So explicitly, they had a desire for physical pleasure. In Shlach, it's hard to know what the motive of the spies was, but Rabbi Luzzatto shares with us the interpretation of the Zohar. The Zohar is one of the more mystical writings of the sages. It's part of the Oral Law, the Oral Torah. And on page 87, Rabbi Luzzatto shares with us just what that motive of the spies was. It was the desire for honor that, according to our sages of blessed memory, and in the Hebrew it says Zohar, and then cites the place, that led the spies to slander the land of Israel, thus bringing death upon themselves and that whole generation. Now, what is the connection between desire for honor and slandering the land? What possible connection could there be? I have to tell you, most people are not familiar with this approach. Most people, most commentators, find in their evil report a lack of faith, being scared, fear, which was also justified if you would see the likes of those giants. But Zohar says it was a desire for honor. This was brought about by their fear that their honor might be diminished upon entering Eretz Yisrael, because others might replace them as Israel's Nesi'im, leaders of the tribes. Can you imagine? 10 men who are leaders are afraid, and I wouldn't be surprised if this was all subconscious, are afraid that their position will be diminished. And so they come back and they exaggerate. They don't lie per se, but they exaggerate and they frame their perception of the land in a negative way that causes an entire nation, 600,000 strong, to weep. And as a result, it is decreed that they shall never make it to the promised land, because 10 men were concerned about their position. So that's the second one. Shalach, corresponding to the trait of kavod. And then Korach, that's more natural. Rashi says that he was jealous of the appointment of his cousin, seeing that Moshe and Aaron had already had the top two slots, if you will. And then there was another position open, leader of the family of Levi, or maybe one of the branches of Levi, Kehath. That was open, and that was given to a man named Elitzafan ben Uziel, who was a younger cousin to Korach. And Korach said, this is paraphrasing Rashi, Moshe has the leadership, Aaron has the high priesthood, then I should have gotten the leader of Levi, and not Elitzafan, my younger cousin. And that was what motivated him to stage this rebellion. Now, mind you, in the rebellion, he didn't come up to Moshe and say, how come I wasn't given the job of head of Levi? He didn't say it in a way that would have disclosed his ego trip. He said something like, everybody is so holy, why do you, Moshe and Aaron, have to be the Lord over us? As if he was a champion of the Jewish cause, Moshe calls his bluff and says, Korach, I know what you want. You want to be the high priest. That's right in the verse. So anyways, that is easier to see that it's jealousy. Obviously, there seems to be overlap among these three. They're all three traits which derive from ego, derive from self-interest. In fact, Rabbi Luzzatto, when he opens the discussion about the midos, about the negative character traits, he has a very, very poetic line here. This is on 79. He says, Kulam ke'echad surei hagefen nachriya. They are, each and every one of them, and he's referring to the different negative traits. He actually enumerates, identifies five. We spoke about this last week. He does arrogance, ga'ava, anger, kas, jealousy, kina, tavas hamamon, desire for money, material things, and then tavas hakavod, desire for honor. So that's his big five. But what he means here is every one of them are surei hagefen nachriya. The translator says deviant offshoots of an alien vine. Deviant offshoots of an alien vine. Implying that there's some type of a common root. Mm. There's this alien vine and it has branches, and one branches off into arrogance and one branches off into jealousy and so forth. So there's certainly a commonality and a common thread that these traits share. But in this, our second week of our mini-series, I wanted to try to gain a little bit of deeper understanding of the roots of these traits, not so much for academic reasons, although it's fascinating to me, but also hopefully for practical reasons. If we are, as Rabbi Luzzatto says, bidden to spend our lives not only growing in our observance, but also growing in the perfection of our character, it seems like such a large task. How do we approach it? And perhaps by being able to understand better where these evils come from, perhaps we can gain some insight in how to attack it. So I think with God's help, during the course of this week, I have been able to, in conversation with some of my colleagues, particularly Rabbi David Silverman, I've been able to reconnect with some ideas that we actually shared several years ago, 2004. But it's a fascinating approach to the three primary attributes that are listed in the Mishnah. Kina, Tava, and Kavod, jealousy, desire, and honor, which are, I would say, developed by both Maharal of Prague in his commentary to one of the first Mishnahs of Pirkei Avos, and I'll tell you more about that, and also Rav Dessler, which we studied together several years ago. So let's begin this investigation about the three midos. And I'm going to just really randomly combine Maharal and Rav Dessler. You'll know that this is where I'm getting this information from. Remember the number three. Three is a very big number. There's a lot of threes. Who knows three? I know three. Three are the avos, the patriarchs. Well, there's a lot of threes. Let's start this way. Every person lives in three different realms. in three different domains, if you will. The domain of himself, the domain of his relationship with God, and the domain of his relationship with other people. The domain of himself relates mostly to his hashkafa, his outlook on life, the way he thinks, his view of life, his perception. We are taught by our tradition, and we have concentrated on this in other occasions in this class, our perception on life is colored sometimes by seichel, true intelligence, which is rooted in the wisdom of God, and we have it innate within us in our souls, but also to a great extent by the dimyon, by the illusion of life. And there is so much illusion that fills our minds, and a lot of it is 100% sheker, false. So when we talk about a person living in the domain of himself, we're talking about his view. How much MS is there in his view? How much truth? And how much sheker? How much falsehood? So that realm is primarily occupied in his mind. And that's the first domain. The second domain that a person lives in, I'm doing it in this order because it fits into the scheme, is the domain of his relationship with God. The relationship with God is primarily consumed with one question. Do I do what God wants, or do I do what I want? It's more inside of a person's heart and emotions. And almost everything in life comes down to this. Who's the boss? Me or him? Do I do what I want, or do I do what he wants? And that is a lifelong training process and struggle. The third domain with which a man deals is his relationship with others. And here the question is, am I focused on myself, my own needs, or am I able to look beyond myself and see others and see their needs and respond to them? Like somebody once said, if you take a piece of glass, a clear piece of glass you can see through. If you paint some silver on it, it becomes a mirror. Then all you can see is yourself. So that's the question. In the domain with other people, am I looking through a clear glass or am I looking at a mirror? These three domains have been endowed by God in the human psyche, in the human soul, with a strong positive midah quality trait and a strong negative midah. The strong positive midos are no less than the midos of our three fathers. And this is well known in Jewish thought. Avraham embodied the midah of chesed, kindness. Avraham's natural inclination was to do for others, to be occupied with helping and providing for others, both in the way he did hospitality and also in spreading the message of monotheism throughout the world. He was totally devoted to chesed. And in that way, he brought to the world and he taught us how to have the positive midah, the positive attribute in the domain of man to man. Yitzchak, our second patriarch, was imbued with the midah of gevurah, the quality of strength. And strength, not in brute strength, but strength in the sense of being able to nullify his own desires to do the will of Hashem. That requires strength. It also, in his case, meant that he was less outward. He was less involved, at least initially, at least in terms of his natural inclination, was less involved in proselytizing and going out among the people as Avraham did, because he was focusing mostly on inner strength. But, for example, when he was called upon at the age of 37 years old to go and be a human sacrifice, he went along with his father, hand in hand, and didn't want to step down when he was asked to step down off of the altar. He said, but I was asked to be an offering to Hashem. That's all that matters to me. I'm not here for self-preservation. I'm here to do the will of God. That is the midah of Gevurah. And that, Yitzchak taught us, is the positive attribute which completes, which perfects the domain of man to God. And then you have Yaakov. And Yaakov is called the Ish Emes, the father who taught us truth. And Emes is an interesting midah. Rabbi Dessler says that Emes is really the highest of all the midos, because Emes seeks for what is true. What is true in every domain? What is true whether it's my thoughts, or whether it's my relationship with God, or whether it's with my relationship with people. I may not be naturally inclined to go out there and be a chesed person, but if it is the right thing to do, if that's Emes, I'll do it. So Emes actually combines and leads to all of them. Nevertheless, Emes is a midah which requires a person to constantly search, probe, study, review, and sublimate one's mind to the thinking of God and His Torah.
Strive for truth.
Strive for truth. There you go. Each one of these midos is a gem. But specifically, Emes, the third midah, which was taught to us by Yaakov, is that which perfects man unto himself. As we started off, the way a person thinks. This is perfected by striving for truth. If you want to perfect yourself in your own domain, Emes is the way to go. Now, we mentioned that each of these domains has a positive midah, and each of these domains has a negative midah. Guess which are those negative midos? Does number three ring a bell? Kina, tava, and kavod. Jealousy, desire, and honor. Each one is a negation of one of the positive ones. Okay, let's do a little exercise, because it was not easy for me to figure out how they corresponded. Kina, jealousy. Which midah, which positive midah, which patriarch's midah finds its opposite in kina?
Strength.
Huh?
Strength.
That's it. Gevura?
Strength.
Do I hear MS? Okay. Say our sages, it's the opposite of chesed. To the person who does chesed, he goes around and says, Shali, shalach. What's mine is yours. What does the jealous person say?
It's mine is mine.
Shalcha, shali. What's yours is mine. Or it should be mine. So kina is the breakdown of chesed. It's the opposite. And in the realm of man to others, kina is a destructive midah. Tava, desire. Which midah, which realm is that the opposite of?
Gevura.
Why?
Because it's my will over Hashem's will.
Okay, excellent. Tava, desire, is the antithesis of strength, which strength we're defining means being able to negate my will for the will of Hashem. And tava is an unbridled desire for what gratifies me. A person who is seeking tava is the furthest away from sublimating his will to the will of God. He's going to have a hard time davening. He's going to have a hard time doing mitzvos. He's going to have a hard time saying no to his desires. So tava is the opposite of gevura in the area of man to God. Okay, here's the hard one. Kavod is the opposite of? Well, there's only one left. Emes. How so? Remember what Emes is. Truth. Truth and a proper perspective on things. Not the illusory, but the correct, the proper perspective.
The proper perspective is that you're one of God's children, whereas seeking of honor is trying to place yourself above everybody else.
Beautiful. Kavod is the greatest illusion. And it's the greatest false impression. Kavod says, I'm the center. If I'm one of the spies, what matters is, what's important is whether I get to be the Nasi when we get to the land of Israel. How far from the truth could that be? What's important is that the Jews should make it to Israel, with or without you, and live with God's presence. That's what it's all about. You have an illusion that because you were given the zechus, the merit, to hold the position of leadership, which is completely a gift, that is the issue, and that's what should be preserved at all costs. You are completely blinded from the truth. So kavod is the greatest aspect of falsehood. And there's a beautiful line in Rabbi Lutzatzel when he says that of all the five, what he calls five negative traits, the most powerful one is the drive for kavod, for honor. Let's read this on page 88. In summation, the desire for honor is what grips a person's heart more than all the worldly wants and desires. If not for this, a person would be content to eat whatever is at hand, to wear whatever would cover his nakedness, to dwell in a house that would protect him from the elements. Thus making a living would be an easy matter. A person would not need to exert himself at all in order to prosper. However, because he can't endure seeing himself humiliated and lowered before his peers, he enters this fray with no end in sight to all his labor. A lot of what drives people is the desire to be important, to be honored. Yes. I wanted to share one other incident which to me epitomizes the truth of the truth, the opposite of kavod. One of the most respected rabbis of Israel around the turn of the century, beginning of the 20th century, was Rabbi Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld. It was before the Jewish state, so there was not a chief rabbinate, but he was kind of accepted as the rabbi of Jerusalem. And he was a very, very pious individual, and he lived in a very modest dwelling. And he was once visited by a member of the Israeli governing body there was at that time, a secular Jew, but a very high-ranking one. And he came to see the rabbi in this humble abode. And he was taken aback. He says, "You're the chief rabbi, and look at this house where you live. Why don't you live in a fancier place?" This is in the old city of Jerusalem at the time. So he says to the gentleman, "Come with me." And he brings him to the Kotel, to the western wall. And he says, "Look where God lives. As long as God lives in ruins, I can live in a modest dwelling." And the line that I wanted to share with you is, talking about truth as opposed to kavod. This is page 89. The hakavod ha'amiti eino elo yediyas ha-Torah be'emes. The only true honor is true knowledge of the Torah. The only true honor is true knowledge of the Torah. And he bases that on the teachings of our sages. V'chein amru zichronam livracha ein kavod elo Torah. Our sages of blessed memory have said the only honor is that of the Torah. By the way, I think it's significant. The honor is the knowledge of the Torah. It's not honor is coming to those who study the Torah. It's the focus is on the knowledge. The knowledge of the Torah is what's honorable, not the recognition that you get because you know the Torah. That may be a byproduct, but that's not the honor itself. If you go to one of these great sages, it doesn't mean anything to them that people give them accolades. It's just the fact that they are in possession of the truth of the Torah. That is honor. And anything else of what we perceive as honor, oh, people think I'm great, people think I'm wise, people, that's part of the illusion. Yes?
You know, sometimes people will do something nice for us and we feel honored by what they've done for us. In a way, it sounds like what we should feel is that we are honored already by having been given the Torah. Hashem honored us by giving us the Torah. And that's it. That's all the honor that we need to have.
That really is. That really is. And the more a person studies Torah, the more they realize that. The more they realize that that is satisfaction. That is something real and permanent that is more precious than anything that others can give them. This is an actual connection with God. Okay, so what we've done is we have demonstrated that these three negative characteristics, each one being the subject of a parsha, or an incident in the parsha, although they all come from this alien vine, but they really represent three different branches, if you will, three different domains in which we function. this is a very, very fundamental trilogy, if you will, because this is the same trilogy of the three patriarchs. It is the same trilogy as the three primary positive attributes, Chesed, Gevura, and Emes. And yes, these three can be broken down. A person can analyze them and say, you know what? One of them is more prevalent in the domain of man with others. One is more prevalent in the domain of man and God. And one is more prevalent just man within himself. Now, I said in preface that I didn't want this to simply be a study in academics. So how can this knowledge, how can this classification be something that can actually help us begin the repair of these inborn traits? And I think that the answer is very, very inspirational and encouraging. And once again, these thoughts have been very much and predominantly influenced by the Maharal and by Rabbi Dessler. Everyone in this room, perhaps, identifies with one of these patriarchs more than the others. I think if everyone would sit for a little bit and think and contemplate, they might find out that they're more comfortable in one of these three domains. Some of us might say that they're very comfortable interacting with others and being giving and sharing and not being selfish. Chesed is something that comes easier to them. Some of us might say that they're not as comfortable in the domain of Chesed, but they're more comfortable in the domain of Gevura. They have an easier time putting their personal wants and desires on hold if they are asked to do something from a higher authority. Gevura might come more naturally to them. Others might say, not so great in Chesed, not always so great in Gevura, self-discipline, but somehow my mind hungers for finding the truth. I feel a constant quest for clarification and for knowledge and for discerning truth from falsehood. That is something which, A, drives me and something which I find I have an affinity towards. If you fit into any one of these categories, then recognize that you have been given as a gift your Midah from Hashem, just like He gave a gift to each one of our patriarchs. He has given you that gift. You may have a gift of Chesed. You may have a gift of Gevura. Or you may have a gift of Emes. Mm-hmm. Upon discovering your gift, may we suggest that that is your weapon to use in the battle against the Midos, against the negative traits. Because they are all interconnected. But you can't really attack one if it doesn't come easy. It would be very, very discouraging if a person who finds it hard to be a giving and an outward and a sharing person to start to say, try to conquer your jealousy. Actually, jealousy is something that I struggle with because I am kind of self-centered. And it bothers me when I see other people having things that I don't have. But I have no problem being disciplined and saying no to my wants and desires. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to conquer, first and foremost, the Midah of Tava, the desire. I can do better with that than jealousy. So good. Your weapon is Gevura. Use your weapon to fight the bad Midos. Conquer desire, and then you will see how you are making progress. If you are a person that loves truth, loves the striving for truth, then by all means, use your piercing intellect, your piercing mind, to try to see past the illusion of honor, which affects so much of the world. Try to see and try to realize in your own life what Rabbi Luzzatto says, that true honor is knowledge of the Torah. Strive for studying that Torah and gaining a more and more truthful outlook. And you will find that the bad meat of kavod will weaken, and that will be your weapon in the fight against the bad mitzvahs. So I think this is what we have to gain by this deepening of our understanding of the mitzvahs, where they come from. They all come from this alien vine, but they come from different branches of that vine. And these different branches represent the different domains of our lives. And if we can capitalize on the positive mitzvah that is our gift, we are one step closer along in this lifelong fight against the midos.
The concepts you're enunciating are central to Musar.
1,000%. Most people will tell you that Musar is primarily concerned with repairing the negative midos. That is the practical outcome of Musar. Musar being the study of Jewish character development, character refinement. That's really what it is. Some Musar texts, very different than Rabbi Luzzatto's. We're going to do a chapter on anger. We're going to do a chapter on jealousy. We're going to do a chapter on desire. Some Musar texts just go straight. It's like a clinician versus a more theoretical doctor. In other words, one is just going to attack the symptoms. So that's what a lot of Musar texts do. Let's just sit down and study how to conquer anger. Conquer anger in 10 steps. What Rabbi Luzzatto does, which I've really come to realize, is that his book does not even mention any of the classic Musar concepts. Like if you look at the table of contents, he does not have a chapter on chesed, or a chapter on anger, or a chapter on gevura. Rather, what he is teaching us, based on Rabbi Pinchas' statement in the Talmud, is he's teaching us skills to use to acquire all the good things. First skill, become, study the Torah. Second skill, become watchful. That's not a classical midah per se, but it's a skill. If you learn how to be zahir, watchful, you will be able to acquire and conquer and grow in that. If you acquire this skill of zealousness, you will become empowered to do more and more. It's totally different than the other ones. They're called midos too. They're called virtue or the element, but they're more skills with which we attain these good midos. But your standard Musar approach is just to clinically attack the symptoms.
So truth conquers not just honor, but also jealousy.
Truth conquers
honor, obviously.
Yes.
But
and
also jealousy.
Yes. And ultimately, all three conquers all three. Rabbi Dessler says that each one of the avos perfected himself in all three midos, emes, gevura, and chesed. The difference is that Avraham conquered those three with chesed as his tool. Yitzchak conquered all three with gevura as his tool, and Yaakov conquered all three with emes as his tool. And that's what I'm suggesting for all of us. We each have a tool because we each have a gift. And we use that gift to conquer, first and foremost, the one that comes easier, but through that, the others. Yes?
All right, so you talk about the tools that attack the symptoms, if I understand that correctly. All right, what actually gets to the cause?
But we're born with these.
Yeah, the cause is just the way we're born, yetzer hara. They're inborn. The good is inborn, the bad is inborn. So it doesn't really matter. It's more important to identify our strengths and use them to grow. Thank you. Good Shabbos.